Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from today's Gospel. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, oftentimes when we reference or speak about these scripture passages, we call them lessons, right? They are the gospel lesson or the epistle lesson or the Old Testament lesson. And I think part of that is they're meant in most cases to teach us a lesson about something. And oftentimes in these lessons, Jesus is teaching us about who he is, about the kingdom he came to bring, and our place in that kingdom. So for example, when we have a lesson where Jesus heals somebody, that tells us that Jesus came to heal people. It also tells us that the kingdom is a place for health and healing and restoration and life. And it also says our application is we should seek the welfare of others around us as well. Or when Jesus forgives someone their sin, it says Jesus is someone who came obviously to forgive, and the kingdom of God is for forgiveness, and we too in that kingdom are called to forgive. And so what is the lesson of the transfiguration? It's really simple. Jesus is God. That's the lesson. That's why, this being the 35th time I've preached on this text in my ministry, it's still really hard to do because it's such a simple lesson. All right? It's like Jesus is God. He shows that to the disciples and he shows it to us. Amen. See, that's shorter than any of my usual sermons. Okay? I can't go that short. And so it's a very difficult thing because it's so simple. And when I really started thinking about it, I was thinking, was it even necessary for the transfiguration to take place? Was this a lesson that the disciples needed to learn? They already kind of know that Jesus is. I mean, Peter made a confession 6 days before saying that you are the Son of the living God. So he already knows this is the case. And why would Jesus go to all the trouble to climb this mountain to transfigure himself, and then to speak with Moses and Elijah? I mean, Peter, his response is not, "Oh yeah, you're God." His response is, basically, "I know you're God. Now let's do something. Let's stay up here forever." Sometimes lessons really don't need to be taught to somebody. For example, if I wanted to teach a class of young children about being safe around a hatchet, right? I'd show them a hatchet. I'd say, "Look, this is kind of heavy. It's a lot sharper than you think. And if you mess around with it and aren't careful, you're going to really hurt yourself." And then just to make the point, I cut my left hand off and said, "Now, don't do that." Okay? Now, that's a lesson that doesn't need to be learned. Don't matter how young these children are, they can glean what a hatchet is going to do to you if you're not careful. The problem we run into so often when we struggle to find a lesson in these lessons is, we tend to see, and I do too, tend to see Scripture as always about us. What's it saying to us? How does it apply to us? What do we have to do? What's important for us? When we fail to realize that Holy Scripture, especially the Gospels, is primarily about Jesus. And Jesus primarily did not come to be a teacher of lessons. He came to be a Savior. This is the important thing for the disciples. It's important for them to understand exactly what he's saying. Jesus has brought them up there not so that he can teach them something about themselves so they can be changed. He's taken them up there so that they can witness how he is changed. But more than anything else, Mount of Transfiguration was most important for Jesus himself. Now let's look at the context of this. It begins by six days later. So what happened 6 days before this was a teaching moment for Jesus with his disciples. He says, who do people say that I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Son of the living Christ, living God. And then Jesus continues to teach him by saying, and to be the Son of the living God and the Messiah means that I have to be arrested, that I have to suffer, that I have to die on a cross, and the third day rise again from the dead. That's a learning moment. 6 days later, when they find themselves going up this mountain, this is a moment for them to witness. To witness the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It was important for the disciples. This moment in their lives would be pivotal. It would change them forever. And as you could see, at least one apostle, Peter, wrote about it in one of his epistles. It meant that much to him. And yet it's really about Jesus. It's important for him. It's especially important for him to talk to Moses and Elijah. Now, sometimes we might ask, why is it Moses and Elijah and not someone else? Well, the simple answer is they represent the law and the prophets, right? Moses is the law and Elijah is the prophets. But I think there's a better reason. I think these two men from the Old Testament understood what it is to stand in the position Jesus was standing in, a time of crisis in his life. And they also understood to face these crises on top of a mountain. It wasn't the Mount of Transfiguration, but both Moses and Elijah were at a time of great crisis in their life when they were on Mount Horeb, or as we often call it, Mount Sinai. Now first, Moses met God in the burning bush on Mount Horeb. And then years later, he comes back with the people of Israel. He's brought them out of Egypt, led them to this same mountain, and as we heard in our text, he goes up on that mountain. And during this time, Moses is in a period of darkness. It's darkness of not really knowing what's going to happen. He has no idea that they're going to be wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. He has no idea how difficult it's going to be to lead these people. He has some idea, but not at this point. For those 40 days, he had no idea that they're building a golden calf down there and worshiping it. He also has no idea, I'm sure, that he himself would never get into the promised land. So he's in the darkness of not understanding what was coming. But he's on that mountain not only because God commanded him to be there, but so that he can look for the light of God and he can hear God speak. And he receives both those blessings. Now, Elijah ended up on that same mountain for a very different reason. He had just demonstrated to all of Israel that there is no other God but God, certainly not Baal. And after that, then he basically oversaw the destruction and death of all the Baal priests at the time. Well, they were employees of the queen, Jezebel, and she wasn't too thrilled with that, so she sought to kill Elijah. So Elijah has to run for his life, and he runs right to Mount Horeb. So he's on the same place that Moses was. Except he's not in the darkness of not knowing, okay? He's in the darkness of what he thinks he knows. And that leads to a darkness of despair. Because at that time, he thinks he's the only person on earth who believes in God anymore. And he's a complete failure. And so in that despair, he's on that mountaintop to look for the light of God and to listen to the voice of God. And he receives these blessings from God as he's on that mountain. And now Jesus has taken the disciples up on top of the mountain. And certainly it's very important for the disciples to witness what happens with Jesus there. It's also important for them to learn something. And they're learning something because from the second thing God the Father says from the cloud, listen to him, okay? They don't often do that, but it was a nice reminder. That's their learning moment. But for Jesus, this was important because he is there looking for the light of his heavenly Father and seeing it, and he's there listening to the voice of his Father, who says, you are my beloved Son. This moment in time is his first step on the journey that led to the cross and led to our salvation. This is a time where Jesus needed to take stock in himself, and he needed to look to his Father for strength to continue this journey that led to us being called sons and daughters of God. That's why it was so important, and that's why this is truly for Jesus a holy moment in his life. And we all need moments like this. Because like Moses and Elijah, we face times of darkness and times of despair, and we need to be strengthened by our Heavenly Father. For me, one of those moments was the 3 years I was at the seminary. Now, if you go to the seminary, it's not really on a mountain. It's a little hilly, but, you know, it's not really mountainous. And yet it is kind of like being on the mountain, because when you're at the seminary, you're away from reality. All right? It's just, it's very different on seminary campus than it is when you're outside of it. Because you're with like three, or at least I was at the time, with 300 or 400 other guys who are seeking the same thing. And yet there's still darkness, because you don't know if it's going to happen. You don't know what that means when it does happen. You don't know where you're going to go. You don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know if you can do it. And so during those years, I certainly looked for the light of God, and I listened to God's voice, and I received those blessings. Now, since the seminary, you know, you kind of have to carve out your own holy moments in this life. For me, it's walking the dog at like 4 and 5 in the morning, right? Because usually there's not people out there that early. Occasionally there are, but most of the time it's not. And I'm out there in the darkness with my dog, and that's it. It's quiet. It's peaceful. And on the rare occasion he's not being naughty, okay, I have a real great time for me to focus. It becomes a holy time where I can take stock in myself at the beginning of the day. I can look for the light of God. I can listen to his voice. I can see in Jesus, I can be a witness, just like all of us are, of what we have just heard read in this transfiguration lesson. Therefore, we are witnesses that Jesus is not just a teacher. He's God himself who created mankind. He's God himself who gave his life to redeem mankind. He's God himself who rose from the dead to be in our lives and make us part of his kingdom. In these quiet, holy times, I can see that. And I can hear that because of this, I can hear my Heavenly Father look at me and say, "You are my beloved Son." I pray that you all find these times to kind of carve out these holy times in your life. Bible study, devotion, prayer, alone with a loved one, whatever. Because it's really important. Because I think if Moses, Elijah, and Jesus had to carve out times like this, I think we need to too. And Lent is a season for us to do that, the entire season. For us to take stock in ourselves and not only see the reason why Jesus gave his life for us on a cross, but what it means for us this day and every day. So that we can bask in the peace that comes from living in God's light and hearing his voice. In Jesus' name, amen.